Baruch Hashem, Shir number 36, Sunday, February 4th. Shir number 36 in Baruch Hashem, Lady Shir. Okay, we're up to the second section, second parak. We're in the middle of paragraph 4. But the words, Achein Mishpatei Hadin Hazeroth Einu Noda. So the Ramchal described pretty as much of, in detail as probably one can describe it, the way the din is meted out by Hashem, Schar Va'onesh. He's going to go over it now and elaborate a bit. But first he says a very important point, because he described different levels of people and where they get their schar and where they get their onesh. And basically there's three places to get. There are three places to get the Schar V'Onesh. Olam Hazeh, and the Olam HaNeshamos, which we talk about Gan Eden or Gehenim, and then Olam Haba, which is the Ramchal's term for the everlasting, infinite existence after Tchias HaMesim, which has the Guf and the Neshama together. Ochein, however, Mishpatei HaDin Hazeh, we don't know the details of the din. This overwhelm, it's not just, you know, we say Avera or Mitzvah, but there's so many different nuances that Hashem takes into account. So only to the true judge Hashem, because there's so many angles, so many aspects of a person's upbringing, a person's influences. We're dealing with a person's bechira, how aware is he or she. Even if you do a mitzvah, did you do it grudgingly? Did you do it besimcha? Did you do it l'shma? Did you do it for the sake, because it's the will of Hashem? Did you do it shalo l'shma? An avera, you know, the same gamut of questions. And is it l'tayavon? Is it l'haches? It's overwhelming. You can't even imagine the exactitude of the din. In Dinei Basav Adam, someone's Mechal Shabbos, and they take them into Bezdin, and if they had a warning, we punish them. Anything, if you eat treif, you go, your punishment's your punishment. Punishment Bidei Adam does not take these nuances into account, because they're totally in your lathe, and a person can't see the lathe. So we say, look, if you do this, this is going to be a punishment. But Hashem takes everything into account, the background, the motivation, the degree to which your upbringing made you act this way. Now, it doesn't make you act this way. If it made you act this way, there wouldn't be Bechira, and you wouldn't get punished at all. But that's a modern day invention of either Marx or Freud or Darwin. Those are the three amudim of kefira, of free will. And so that's Epicurus. That's it goes against free will. The Rambam already talks about how there are those who want to deny free will, because that once you deny free will, as any of these right now, what's his name has the upper hand, I think, in my opinion, in America, Western society, Freud, because everybody's a victim, and this carries over to good people in Chinuch also. That everybody's a victim and nobody's really responsible for what they do. So again, there is a degree to which it's true, which might mitigate what you do, and only Hashem knows that. Society crumbles when nobody is responsible for their actions. That's really the goal, is that no one should be responsible for their actions. Either it's predetermined because of historical factors, that would be Marx, or it's predetermined because of your genes and because of whatever Darwin says, or it's because of your background and because your third grade Rebbe yelled at you and whatever, and that already, so that's, it takes away free will, as we see society crumbling because of that, and everybody's looking, and even well-meaning people fall into the trap of looking at everybody like a victim, and it really takes away free will. But Hashem does take into account mitigating factors. There are mitigating factors many times, maybe even most times, I don't know. So it doesn't free you from your obligation to exercise your free will. That's what the Rambam puts down as a major, that's the principle of free will. That you can break loose of whatever influences you have and you can choose to do good. If there is an outlandish case, which is possible, where you don't have Bechira, okay, so that's one in a million. Not one, not everyone like nowadays. Everyone's a victim. No one's a perpetrator. There are no perpetrators. Everybody, the only perpetrators are, in American society, are white males, Christians. White male Christians and Jews are the only people that are perpetrators. It's ironic about the Jews, because the Jews tackle our victims. The whole illogic and craziness of liberal Western society, progressives they call themselves, backing the Arabs, besides that it's from Hashem, obviously, but the mahalach of it happening is because once there's a perception that the Arabs are victims, which started after the Six-Day War and sped up after the Yom Kippur War, so once they're victims, then they can do whatever they want, because they're victims. And that's how society looks at kids on drugs and kids. That's why it's crumbling. Now, again, it's not to say it doesn't exist, but that's up to Hashem. So only Hashem, Yirah Lalevov, and weighs how much of a mitigating factor it is. But your basic bechira is always there. The truth is, the Gemara also talks about these things, but the Gemara doesn't have the fancy lashonos of Freud, Marx, and Darwin. The Gemara talks about mazel. A person born under this mazel, then he'll have tendencies to be a murderer or a sheichet, a loyal. It can be one of those things. Or a person is born under different mazalos, has different tendencies. The Gemara talks about being born on different days of the week gives a certain person tendencies. It's called mazal. And there's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Ein mazal Yisrael. Yesh mazal Yisrael. But the Gemara is clear that there's always tendencies. There's always tendencies in a person's personal behavior. And maybe their influences. Everybody's a product of the way they were brought up. There's no question about that. The person was brought up as a child in a dysfunctional marriage. The key you sow, though, is what the Rambam says, that everyone has free will. And that's all. Everyone has free will. Uvacharta b'chayim is a mitzvah, is a chiyuv, is a truism. And the degree to which your bad deeds are mitigated by the influences, then Hashem can judge. That's what the Ramchal is saying. That's part of only Hashem. The Rambam really says this also. The Rambam's talking about every Rosh Hashanah. That only Hashem knows. You know, we talk about more schusim, more averas, but the Rambam says only something that seems to us an inconsequential avera might weigh more than many, many mitzvahs that came easy to us. I'm giving one example. Like an easy mitzvah or a socially acceptable mitzvah. And then, but he didn't want to there, so that's worth that. So Rambam says only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, could be the accountant there. So that's what he's saying here too. Kihil ho yodeya amitos metzius ha-ma'asim. He knows the stark truth of the reality, whether it was lishma or lo lishma. You do a mitzvah, did you do it with the dikta kaden, or were you happy to just get away with the b'di'evet, your yotze? Did you did it with a modicum of yiras Hashem, of avos Hashem? Did you think about Hashem? Who's Hashem? What Hashem? Mitzvah Hashem? Oh yeah, tatka, indeed. Hashem. So there's avos Hashem and yiras Hashem. There's yiras ha'onesh, there's yiras ha'romamus. Chafetz Chaim talks a lot about doing mitzvahs b'simcha, as is known from the pasuk, from the Rambam. So that everything that's mitzvahs amazing, the reality of the todos seyem and the ramifications. Let's say a person does an aveira, and other people see him or her, and they say, "Well, if that person did it, I can do it too." So we don't even, we're not aware of it, and we certainly don't consider it. But when you're doing tshuva on Yom Kippur, you don't even, you get to Shemayim, and oh boy. But it works the other way too, to the good. A person comes to, a woman, say, her friends are aware that she davens three times a day. They say, if she can do it, I can do it. That goes to her question. She's not even aware. She doesn't know. She doesn't know that someone saw her and is using her as a role model. But in Shemayim, that's what he means with Toldo Sehem. All the ripple effects. And everybody, we're all interconnected. There's always ripple effects of what people do, how people daven, how people learn. I'm thinking of men, This person doesn't waste any time. He doesn't talk in the middle of learning. If he can do it, I can do it. And the other way around. Well, he's talking Lashon Hara, so obviously it's not that bad because he's doing it. It's terrifying. The idea of din should be terrifying. And we have a little taste of it on Rosh Hashanah, but we always think of it in very finite terms, like the coming year. Can you imagine? Like, when do we think about the Yom HaDin HaGolo? Right? Everything. Let's say you do a chesed. You do a chesed for one person. You could do a chesed and, I don't know, if you help Kupa Shelstaka and their Pesach sale, so you're helping hundreds of people. You don't even think about that. You think you're helping one organization. But there's no mitzvah to help an organization. There's a mitzvah to help people. So it's so many, thousands, millions, billions, I don't know what number to use. All of it. And did you do it b'ahava? Did you do it grudgingly? Did you do it b'simcha? Did you think of Hashem? Are you doing it because of Rasan Hashem? Or are you doing it because it makes you feel good? I would say infinite possibilities, both for a mitzvah and an aveira. And Hashem weighs each one, and every person's different, and every person was born to different parents, and every person lives in a different place, and every person has different friends, and went to different schools, and every person had, it should be mind-boggling to a human being, because only Hashem, when he says only Hashem could judge, it doesn't mean that if you bought the latest computer, then you could do it too. I like the idea of computers. Because computers allows me to even imagine that you can make all of these cheshbonos. Because I couldn't even imagine, it's Hashem, so it's silly to even wonder how he can do it, because Hashem can do anything. But with computers, I could see it, because computers can compute 10 billion factors at one time and come up with a thing, and that's in the physical people world, it's so silly. Hashem is, you're not allowed to even say it in the same breath. Hashem is Hashem. But at least I have an inkling of taking billions of factors times billions of things times billions of mitigating circumstances. You enter it in. That's your data. The Yodea Mamehem Roish, and then very, very complicated. The Yodea Mamehem Roish Yigomel Duzman Echot. And then, okay, so reward time, ding, 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 reward time. So is the reward going to be in Olam Hazeh? Or is the reward going to be in the Olam HaNeshamos? Or is the reward going to be in Olam Haba? Right? Hashem has to do what's appropriate, where it fits, what makes sense, what's just, what's fair, what's just. We don't know. There's Man Echad or B'derech Echad. There's different types of schar. Person, again, could be rich in Olam Hazeh, could get covered in Olam Hazeh. When you learn Ramchal, you say, oops, that's not such a good thing to have. But different ways of getting schar. Umab Zman Acher, maybe Olam HaNeshamos, maybe Olam Habo, Uvederech Acher. We don't know. We don't know, because Hashem is Kel Emuna Ve'ein Ovel Tzadik V'yashar Hu. We can only know what the Ramchal tells us, you know, in general what's going on, but once you get into specificities, like, it's just overwhelming. But you have to realize the amkus hadin, and the breadth of the din, and it covers, you know, it covers every second of our lives. The din of cheshbon on every moment we're alive. It doesn't mean you have to be doing a mitzvah every second, although it wouldn't hurt. But there's no downtime in Yiddishkeit. There's no downtime. You don't get 5 seconds off every day to play whoopee. There's no such thing. Hashem is Hashem, and where we are, and we're in the world. No downtime at all. Not even a few seconds a day. You don't get a chance to breathe. No. You get a chance to breathe, because that's how you have to live, and that's the only way we can live, because we have to sleep 6 to 8 hours a night, let's say, and we have to. A person needs. Many people need to relax. I need to take a vacation, maybe sometimes, and need this, and need that. We're very weak physically. We're used to mosros. We're used to all kinds of luxuries that our parents or grandparents certainly never dreamed about. Kings didn't have what every yukol has now. the richest of kings, Achashverosh, didn't have that. So, okay, but so we're weak. That means when there's no air conditioning and I can't learn, so Hashem looks differently than, I hope, than 150 years ago when there was no air conditioning and people like, big deal. So it's hot, you know. It's the summer. It's hot. Okay. Almohi miyusedes, almohi soveves. This is in general. That's which the Ramchal is revealing to us. What's the goal and what's Olam Haba and bonding with Hashem, and this is forever, and if you don't make it, you're going to cease to exist, or maybe if you're lucky, you'll go to Gehenim, and if if you're lucky, you go to Gehenim. V'ma shebi'arnu shetachlis kol ha'inyan. And this is always interesting. We didn't really dwell much on this, but he said it before. I did make a point of it, and he repeats the point here. The point isn't the individual. The point is shatachlis kol ha'inyan hu lekabetz kibbutz shleimim, a group. That's the Jewish people. It turns out in history that it's the Jewish people to gather kibbutz of shleimim. Shleimim meaning after they receive their onesh. Hardly anyone's a shleim before they receive their onshim. But after they receive their onesh, then they're shleimim, sheyiyu ruyim, and then they're worthy likava lanetzach, to be established forever, and not stam forever, but forever and ever and ever and ever, and then some. B'hizdav guso yizbarach, bonding with Hashem, which we don't even know what it means, it's just a word, but we know that it entails immense spiritual pleasure, pleasure as no one has ever experienced, and all the pleasures of the world. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? All the pleasures of this world pale into insignificance if you take one moment in Olam Haba and compare it. And that's the goal. And this is what is repeatedly said in the Maral Svarim, and actually I think it's a Rambam, that the point is the Jewish nation. This is already even more complicated, because you have a group, and then you have the individuals within the group. But the ultimate goal is to gather together the group of Shleimim who will. That's how Hashem worked it. He worked it with a nation. Hashem doesn't work with individuals. The Jewish nation will go into Olam Haba, whoever is a Shalem. Some sources point to implications in Ramchal and other Svarim that's Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba, means after Yisurim and Olam Hazeh, and after Gehenim, everybody will be part of this Kibbutz Shleimim. It's not relevant. I mean, it's not something you can take comfort in. Because Gehenim hurts, and the frustration of the ultimate pleasure, and anybody who says, well, if that's the ultimate pleasure, and it's beyond my wildest dreams of what pleasure is, and it's more pleasureful than the whole Chaye Olam Hazeh of pleasure, so it's enough for me to have the lowest darga. As long as I get in by the skin of my teeth, I'm happy. That's very foolish, very foolish, because it's only said out of stupidity, of not understanding what we're talking about, because there's no pleasure in the world that someone will say, okay, if you have within your grasp a greater pleasure, no one says, oh, it's enough, the lesser pleasure. We want more. Why shouldn't we have more? Right. Yeah.
You're switching from the individual to the community, that we're responsible for everybody else to achieve the same goals we are striving for.
Kavitz Kibbutz Shleimim means the ultimate goal is that a nation, a group of people, should be Mizdabek Bashem. I'm not sure what that's what he says. Not that an individual should be Mizdabek Bashem, but that a group of people. Now, a group of people is made up of individuals. We're talking about Shleimim after Onish. Again, he says if you're at a certain level, let's call it, I'm talking very superficial terms, if you have more schusim than averus, then you're going to go to Olam Haba, except we have to deal with the averus. We can't just ignore them. So it deals with them either in Olam Hazeh, and the person has Yisurim and different types of Yisurim, or in Gehenna, and then he becomes a Shalim. If the person Chalila the other way around, then he gets his Schar in Olam Hazeh, and maybe in Olam HaNeshamos, but he doesn't make it to the ultimate. He just has too much baggage to bond with Hashem forever. So maybe we can take some comfort in the fact that Ramchal himself says that all Jews, all Mamish, maybe with a few exceptions, because if you have Kares, that means you're cut off from Olam Haba. That's the definition of certain types of Kares. So the point of the Kavitz Kibbutz Shleimim as opposed to the individual, I imagine, that's what the Maral says, the same idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a Jewish nation, and he wants a Jewish nation. He wants a nation. He didn't give the Torah to an individual, even an individual like Avraham Avinu. He didn't give the Torah to him. He didn't give the Torah to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to Yosef, to any of the Shvatim. He didn't even give the Torah to Moshe as Moshe. He gave the Torah to Moshe as a representative of all of Klal Yisrael. Why? Hashem made the world that no one's, that there's so many avenues to, this is how I understand it, that there's so many avenues to serve Hashem, so it's like an orchestra. I mean, you've all heard that, Marshall. It's like an orchestra. So everybody has, one person can't play all the instruments. It's not possible. Hashem didn't create a world where one person could, maybe there was one person, Adam HaRishon, says Adam HaRishon would have represented all of humanity. And he, if he wouldn't have been Chote, he would have brought the world to Shlemus just by listening to Hashem. We don't really know. You know, it seems like he had this chance. But that's it. After he was Chote, that there was something called Shviras HaKelim. And now the whole world and all of history became a gigantic 6,000-year-old jigsaw puzzle. And all the pieces have to be put together. And different people are different pieces. So but there's no more one person. The only person that would have been that one single individual. And it says Adam HaRishon represented all of humanity. And that's the pshat. He had within him all the different nuances, all the different darkei avoda of that are possible, like the whole spectrum. Now you have to have different people. That's how I understand this idea. So now it's different people. So some people work on Torah, and some people work on Chesed, and some people work on Avoda, and some people excel in this inyan, and some people excel in Chesed, and some people excel in other, in being a good parent, and some people excel in giving shiurim, and some people excel, it changes according to the flow of history. And it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, and everybody's contributing a piece. But the point is the whole jigsaw puzzle, and I'm only a piece of the jigsaw puzzle. Again, this is something that's beyond, I think, the human mind to grasp, because you're judged as you're being an individual, and you're judged as being part of the group. And it's like two maslu lim. Really, on every Rosh Hashanah, when we say Chol Bo'i Olam Yavru Lufanecha Kivnei Maron, and the Gemara has three different pshatim of Bnei Maron, but they each are groups. It's either, let's see if I remember, soldiers in an army, so certainly there's a battalion, and there's each individual in the battalion, but then the battalion fights. You don't have an individual fighting. And the other one is sheep. That's the more famous of. One is Chayalo Shel Beis David, one is sheep, there's a herd of sheep. So each one walks along a narrow path, but the point is the herd. No one would be a shepherd for one sheep. You have a herd. I forgot the third. Three children. But there is a third is also the same. The third is also a group. So that's what Kivnei Maron means. And that's what Mekulam Niskarim Beskira Achas means. Hashem. So, how does this work? You're judged on everything. You're judged as an individual because if one piece of the jigsaw puzzle is missing, that's terrible, right? You affect the whole jigsaw puzzle automatically. If one piece of the jigsaw puzzle is sullied or broken or torn or lost, chas v'shalom, so what are you going to do? And then you're judged as what role you played in the whole. And maybe we don't even have a choice in that. Because there are neshamas like Moshe Rabbeinu, who have a bigger role to play, we think. What do we know? I don't know anything. We don't know anything. But the Tanya talks about that there are some people who are like the Rosh, and some people are the arms, and some people, that's like you look at one person, and some people are the feet, and some people are the soles of the feet. Like it goes from the top of the head to the sole of the feet. And each neshama fits in somewhere in that body. And we don't know. So you can't say it's not fair, because Hashem is looking at the body. So there has to be a heel, and there has to be a leg, and there has to be a foot, and there has to be an arm, and there has to be a stomach, and there has to be a lave, and there has to be a rosh, and there has to be all the limbs of a person. So you can't say it's not fair. Hashem created us. It's not fair. It's okay. Would you rather have not been created? Right? There's not a question of fairness. Hashem could... You can't say fear. That's what Hashem created. That's what the Ramchal is saying here too. The Maral says it countless times throughout. I'm sorry, not the Maral. The Maral. Maral says it countless times throughout all of his Sforim that Hashem, and this changes the nature of Yihatu Lo'echa Kamocha. This changes the nature of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh. It's not just an extra burden. I have my own life, and now Hashem made me responsible for other people's lives also. Like, thanks a lot. That's really the reality. It's a reality. So, does it mean I'm responsible if a Jew in New York now is not making a bracha? So again, don't worry. Hashem keeps the account. So, you know, don't worry. Hashem is not... On the other hand, if you have a power to influence others nowadays with the internet, with email, with we have a power that was never within the reach of man. I can influence someone in New York. I can say a shiur, and it can be put on a website, and the guy in New York can download it and listen to it. When I grew up, that didn't exist. They had these huge tape recorders, reel to reel. And what are you going to do? Like, who's going to listen to it? You know, you're going to send. Now you have a Rabbi Miller iPod, which is well worth whatever it costs, $2,000, $2,500. And it has 1,900 shiurim on it. And all of his books, they put all of his books on the iPod, and it's the latest model iPod. It's called a Simcha Pod. And I can't recommend it highly enough. No question is going to change your life. I mean, I wouldn't be that happy if you stopped coming to this year, because who needs it? You have Rabbi Miller, but for $3,000, that's a joke. It's a trip to New York and back. No, $3,000. Okay, maybe Dan's Deals will have it. I'll have a sale on Rabbi Miller's iPod. It's not worth $3,000. You should go borrow it and pay it back $50 a month, and you'll pay for it over, I don't know, do the math, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you'll have Olam Haba in your pocket. You have Olam Haba in your pocket. And there's other iPods. I bought a Rabbi Kirzner iPod a few years ago. Rabbi Kirzner's at Sal. That has around 500 shiurim on it. He was tragically nifta, very, very young. An amazing person. And these are shiurim I like. Other people like other shiurim. There's like millions of shiurim on the internet. But Torah Anytime, Torah.org, it's like mind-boggling.
Why are you showing?
Yeah, it's like mind-boggling. So I'm saying, my point being that Magid Shir, you can influence others. And we're judged on that. So it's a little terrifying, and maybe it should be. You know, we go through the day, and like, it really is, because Hashem is like every second, you know, that's, we'll say every minute. It's really every second, but I don't want to scare anybody. It's like, It doesn't matter. Hashem, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Betrunya Briyosov. No one has to worry that Hashem is going to punish anybody for not being fully productive any second. And the only reason why I'm allowed to say that is only because it's not possible. I'm assuming it's not possible for a person to be productive every second. So Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Betrunya Briyosov. Hashem doesn't demand the impossible. That's the only reason I said it. If it's possible, you know, there's no escape. What are you going to do? No escape. Okay. Anyway, what's Ramchal's point here? But this is, he says, that, you know, the goal, the ultimate goal is that the group should go into Olam Haba. Because that's the shlemus of the Bria, the way Hashem wants it. As I tell you, the only single individual that could encompass all of humankind's accomplishments was Adam HaRishon called the Machet. After that, that's my understanding of why this Hadgasha of the group, because Avodas Hashem will always be Choser with an individual. After Adam HaRishon's Chet, it's something. It's like, you know, your valuable china shattered on the floor, and you're trying to pick up the pieces and put it back together again. And that's the 6,000 years of history. Putting the shattered pieces back together again in this huge jigsaw puzzle. And it takes 6,000 years, and millions and millions and millions and millions of people, Jews I'm talking about, everybody else is supporting, it plays a supporting role. Okay. So again, let's finish up the paragraph at least this time, so we'll have accomplished more than last year. In order for this to reach its goal the way it's supposed to, that the kibbutz shleimim should be mizdabek in Hashem. Hutzichu, I wonder if there'll be a mechitza. Now, well, anybody that's married is one soul with the husband. It's like, they won't have that division up there. And if you're married, people that didn't marry, I don't know. Hashem knows, though. It's probably a Gilgul, and somewhere in history they have their Ben Zug or Bas Zug. And for some reason in this Gilgul, in a certain Gilgul, they never got married. But probably everybody has a Ben Zug, because the whole world is Zachar and Akeva. The whole world is dual. We were saw about even the Malachim have a duality. They play off against each other. Anyway, all of these things, whether it's Schar and Onish and Olam Hazeh, Schar and Gan Eden and Gehenim, Olam Haba, everything is needed. Lahachin ulahazmin u'inyan hazeh tachlisi, and the whole Olam Hazeh, and all of its trials and tribulations, and Yisyonos, and Yitzhara, and Yitzhatoiv, and Bechir Chavshis, is all to reach the goal, the ultimate goal, Chmosha Zacharnu. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue with Hashem Wednesday with paragraph 5. Okay. Does this make you happy or depressed?